Welcome back all. I hope you're all having a very good week so far, and hello from Hanoi, Vietnam. Thank you, as ever, everyone, for continuing to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. The best place to do so, comment section below, and if you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdaydobbs.com. And thank you so much to everyone who gets in touch. It's just the most amazing way to start my week. Monday morning, get a coffee, start going through all of your emails and your comments and your thoughts. It is fantastic. Let's begin first off with a comment from last week from JC. This is where I showed a picture of the headlamp of a Triumph Tiger 1200, and it was about £1,000. And I had a lot of people commenting on this, like, first group of people saying, come on, that cannot be true. And then the next group of people saying, I've got one of these bikes with a headlamp that looks pretty similar to this. This is a little bit scary. I promise you, if this helps in any way, you are not alone. Expensive headlamps are now the norm. So JC simply says, Freddie, is it true about the Triumph Tiger headlamp unit? Question mark, question mark, question mark, exclamation. JC, I promise you, it's true. I shall now show you a few examples about how something really that should be extremely simple. It's just a light. I know that we need to have good, strong, powerful lights, but a simple LED bulb, would that not be enough? They've got too complicated. And this demonstrates it perfectly. Let's say you've got, for example, a Ducati Multistrada V4 from 2022. If you break the headlamp or the headlamp build, it's got so complicated I don't even know what to call it, the headlamp thing, let's call it, if you break it, or if it just simply stops working, if the lighting element within it simply stops, which of course it can and will do, that will set you back £726, including tax. To be fair to Ducati, I promise you, that's actually not that bad. How about if you break the headlamp unit on, in fact, they call it the LED headlight, on your BMW R1300 GS. Now, BMW, of course, are famous for having very expensive parts on their vehicles. I'm glad to say there's a sale on at the moment. The normal price for one of these units is €2,030. Luckily, it's on sale at the moment for just €1,834. It's so small as well. I'll do a couple more here. It's okay, there is some saviour here. Let's say you just want a simple little Honda Cub. I thought, what is the simplest looking brand new headlamp there is? It has to be a bike that's mass produced because there's economies of scale, has to be simple, has to be physically small as well. Honda Super Cub C125, I thought, perfect. And I was right with this. You can get that little headlamp unit there from Honda for the Super Cub, £260. Look, it's still quite a lot of money, but relatively speaking, it's not going to bankrupt you. I'll do a few more here because this is just so fun. Oh, how about you go for a Japanese motorbike and you think it's okay. Look, we know BMW's expensive. We know Ducati can be expensive. I'm going to play the safe game here. This makes sense. I'm going to go and buy a Suzuki, a bike that has built its name on reliability and sensible pricing. So I'm here looking at a Suzuki V-Strom 1050 headlamp unit from a 2021 model. I've tried to be even with all of the years, around about the same. So 2021 V-Strom. This is a good, honest adventure bike. Let's say you break the headlamp. You're going to have to pay £844, excluding VAT. That's going to be £1,000 with VAT. £1,000. That is more than a Ducati. Okay, I'll move on there, but that's just a little bit of food for thought. Simple things, they really can start building up and getting extremely expensive. I found that really interesting. Moving on to Valeri, a devastating year for motorcycle sales. Valeri, thanks for sending this in. Freddie, recently MCIA published the December selling report, and if we compare year-to-year selling of motorbikes, then it dropped 20% in the United Kingdom. Sales from 2024 to 2025, down 20%. There were 110,000 motorbikes sold in the UK in 2024. This is some drop. Get ready for this. 2025, 89,000. Do you think it's because the younger generation prefers e-bikes, for example, which don't require a license and can cover city distances? The cost of living, or could there be any other reasons? Valeri. Yeah, Valeri, this is devastating. 19% drop in sales. And it's everything across the board. Let's take a look at this. Some of the biggest losers here. The custom market. I assume custom market means cruisers and things like that. That is down 26% year on year in the UK. Electric sales are down too, apart from one small increase in tiny motor size electric bikes, which are probably somewhere between electric bicycles and electric motorbikes. They're so tiny. Apart from one tiny increase there, but the numbers are so small, it's almost insignificant. Even electric is down significantly. Let's take a look at this in a little more detail here to try and figure out why has there been such a slump in sales. So, if we look at the UK car market, because in the UK we are predominantly car drivers because the weather means that that's our primary mode of transport, unlike here in Southeast Asia. UK car sales in 2025 actually hit over 2 million, which is a 3.5% increase. So here we've got a huge decrease in motorcycle sales year on year, but an okay increase in car sales. And that marks the first time since the pandemic of around 2021 where there's actually been growth. And that's partly down to strong EV sales and also hybrid sales, especially, interestingly, from Chinese brands such as MG and BYD. First off, when I look at this, you can see that for the essential transport, things seem to be doing perfectly decently. People need a car to get to work, so they're more willing to fork out to buy a car, whereas a motorbike in the UK is simply, it's a luxury. And everyone is tightening their purse strings at the moment because there is zero trust in the UK at the moment. No one trusts anything going on with the economy. You've got hugely increased costs of living. You've got stagnating wages. You've got a whole host of things going on in the world. You've got, and this isn't party political, but you've got in a lot of quarters a government that people don't trust with regards to the economic elements of things. So all of those things mean that people are just tightening their purse strings everywhere they can. And the first thing that goes always, it's the luxuries, it's the things that you don't need. And motorbikes fall into that category. So we've seen a big boost in the affordable and cheap Chinese cars, predominantly electric vehicles, because people can buy those through businesses for huge tax savings, and a drop off in motorbikes because they're simply luxurious vehicles. But this isn't just for the UK. I did a little bit of digging around the internet and found this. Germany, I thought I'd start with, because I know the German economy is struggling at the moment, especially the automotive sector of the German economy. The German motorcycle sales year on year, 2025 compared to 2024, down 25%. That, if Google AI is telling me the truth, is even more significant than the UK. But let's just go a bit further afield here. Let's go over to Thailand and Vietnam and check motorcycle sales there. Because Thailand and Vietnam, of course, are the complete opposite to the likes of Germany and the UK. Motorbikes and scooters, that is their primary form of transport, so it's essential for going about your daily life, doing your business. Everyone has to have a scooter in these countries, and it shows from the sales. In Thailand, there's a 1.9% increase in motorcycle sales year on year, and in Vietnam, there's a 1.5% decrease in motorcycle and scooter sales. But both of those, really, they're perfectly solid numbers. You don't have any big decreases like Germany and the UK. Get ready for a few more interesting ones. I do love a stat. India. What do we think for India? How many motorcycle sales in India in 2025? 20 million. 20 million. And that is a 6% increase. That will come down, of course, to Royal Enfield doing well. And it comes down to, again, in India, so many people using motorbikes and scooters. They are a genuine mode of transport that people need to be able to get around. And you've got all of these big factories, not just the names like Royal Enfield and BSA, but you've got all of these factories now making motorbikes for different brands, especially in the smaller capacities, under 400cc, for example. So they've got an extremely strong motorcycle segment with gigantic factories pummeling out motorcycles at a rate that we in Europe couldn't even fathom. Australia. The reason I wanted to do Australia next, Australians are, per person, they're much richer than us Brits now. Things have just changed so massively. So Australians have much more disposable income than us Brits. At the moment in the UK, things feel a bit like doom and gloom. So everyone's desperately squirreling away all the money they've got because they don't trust anything. But in Australia, I'm sure you've probably got some issues, but things are better in a financial point of view. And what that means is that, but this is crazy, motorcycle sales Australia, I didn't even clock on. They are down 1.3%, but a far smaller drop compared to the UK and Germany. But motorcycle sales, I cannot believe this. In Australia, in 2025, 93,000. The UK motorcycle sales, UK, we've got a population, it's got to be close to 70 million. Are 89,000. So Australian motorcycle sales, bear in mind Australia has a population of 27 million compared to our 70 million in the UK. Motorcycle sales are now significantly higher in Australia than the UK. That is absolutely staggering. I'll do one final one to wrap it up here. This is a big one. In China, motorcycle sales in 2024, 20 million. God, that's the same as India. And motorcycle sales in 2025 in China, 22 million, including 13 million exports. China exported 13 million made in China motorcycles in 2025. And you've got the stratospheric boom of these new brands popping up and shipping bikes all over the world from Southeast Asia to Europe and everywhere in between. And bear in mind, this is motorcycle sales. Imagine what it's like for the car sales. It would be even more extreme. You see in the UK all the time now. It used to be a rarity to see a Chinese car. Now they are absolutely everywhere. So the reasons for the UK's huge drop in motorcycle sales. One, complete lack of confidence. And whenever there's a lack of confidence from a financial point of view, everyone immediately gets rid of or cuts back on luxury spending, whether it's motorbikes or holidays. They're usually the first to go. Next up, and this for me is a really obvious one that the government needs to sort out, because it's the government that put this into place. Our motorcycle tests in the UK are obscenely expensive and complicated. I'll take my experience as an example. When I got to 17 years old, I wouldn't even consider trying to get into motorbiking because the tests were so expensive and so complicated. And then even if I passed, used motorbikes are so obscenely expensive, I could never afford it anyway. If I want to get into biking right now, for example, and I'm, let's even say, a 24-year-old, and I'm looking to get my own personal transport, To get into motorbiking, it's going to cost £1,000 for me to do the test. I'm going to have to do my theory test, and then going to have to do my Mod 1 and my Mod 2. That is minimum of 3 tests. But if I'm younger, 18 or 19, I'll have to do all 3 of those tests. And then when I get to 24, 25 years old, I'll have to do the tests again, which sounds so insanely stupid. But it's just the system that we've created. However, with cars, for young people, you don't need to take any lessons with an instructor. So you can go out and you can buy your own car, first off. And you can easily pick up a car. Look at this I've got here. A lovely looking Ford Fiesta, 1.2 petrol, good condition, running well, £595. Or I want to spend a little bit more on a slightly sharper looking car. How about this Citroen C1 for £995? The point is, from £500, you can pick up a perfectly decent car. And then we get down to the test. In the UK, you don't need any instructors, so you don't need to pay for lessons. The cost of a theory test is about £25, and the cost of a practical test is about £70. And that means that for £85 to £90, you can pass your car driving license, because you can get your mum or dad to take you on lessons and to even drive you to the test centre. So you've got £90 for the test, you've got £600 for a car. That's £690. Whereas for a bike, you're spending £1,000 just to have the luxury of being able to do the test. And then, of course, if you fail the first time, you have to spend a minimum of £250 every time, because you've got to rent an instructor's motorbike and pay for the test itself. And then you've got to go and buy a motorbike, which is minimum 3 times the price of a cheap equivalent car. Let's say £1,500 to £1,800 for the basic level motorbike from about 20 years ago. So it's cost. Most young people couldn't dream of passing their bike test, purely because the costs have got so crazy. And the government need to somehow streamline this. Figure out a way that young people can get into biking in a safe manner, while also protecting the motorcycle industry, because we need younger riders getting into it. Let's move on. Bike of the week. Italian Brothers. And this leads on perfectly to the huge drops in used bike registrations. This is an indication of what's going on with the deals at the moment. I begin here. This is from Lewis. Freddie, like many of us, I grew up watching Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman disappear off into the unknown on the Long Way series, quietly rewiring what I thought was possible on a motorbike. Years later, I found myself feeling the same itch again, and it made me realize how many of us never quite get over the fear of the channel. This, for anyone who isn't local to the rough area of the UK and France, the English Channel. It's just that bit of water that separates the UK and mainland Europe, France. And for a lot of us, it's like a barrier. It's like stepping out onto the continent, too many things could go wrong. Now I've given a bit of background on that. So many of us never quite get over the fear of the channel. So I don't know why I did that. Fear of the channel. Not because we can't do it, but because of all of the little worries that pile up. The language, the paperwork, the breakdowns, the ferries, the what-ifs. But last year, my mate Damien and I finally decided to ignore all of that. Inspired by other epic adventures we'd seen on YouTube and other places, we crossed the channel and covered 2,500 miles in 1 week. France, Germany, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Belgium, the Netherlands. Incredible roads, incredible scenery, and even better people. We got lost, we got rained on. We got laughed at. We laughed a lot. We came home quietly changed for the better, the best kind of souvenir. I've attached a photo of me and my now sold, Lewis, why did you do it? My now sold, much missed Aprilia Touareg 660, and my friend's Chinese Benelli, somewhere along the way. Sometimes all it takes is seeing someone else doing something to think, actually, why not? I can do that. So if any of your viewers are still teetering on the edge of doing a big road trip, then tell them to just go. Lewis You've inspired me. I love that. And also, seeing these pictures of these two, really, both of them, excellent, excellent looking mid-sized adventure bikes. I think it's one of the most inspiring segments of bikes, mid-sized adventure bikes, because you just look at it and you think, there's a proper bike to take on the world. It's just that sweet spot. Not too much size, not too much tech, but a bike that can mile munch in comfort, a bike that you can take off-road if needed, a bike that's comfortable two up, you can put panniers on. These are the do-it-all bikes. So, let's take a look at this. We're in the new year now, so we're going to be getting more and more excited for the start of biking season as the next few weeks come around. And with the low sales from 2025, that means there are plenty of deals on offer here for brand new bikes. Some of them, just like these two, are quite tantalizing. So, mid-size adventure bikes, two Italian brothers with names that span over a century. Benelli, can you believe it, founded in 1911. Aprilia, founded in 1945. So that's 115 years for Benelli and 81 years for Aprilia. Incredible Italian brands here. So, these brands have two quite different paths here, although there are some quite stark similarities. In 2005, Benelli were just right down in the dumps. They were almost no more. And then Quang Zhang in China bought and saved the brand. So for the past 21 years, Benelli have actually been, you'd call it a Chinese brand. It's an Italian brand bought by the Chinese. So all of the Benellis are now, every single one of them, they're all built in China from the Quang Zhang group. But they do have still a design center in Pesaro, Italy, where they actually design the bikes. Then, of course, they all get made in China. Slightly different for Aprilia. Aprilia, interestingly, were close to bankruptcy in 2004, just 1 year before Quang Zhang bought Benelli. However, it wasn't the Chinese that saved Aprilia. It was actually the Italian mega group, Piaggio. So from 2004 onwards, for the past 22 years, Aprilia has been owned completely by the Piaggio group that also looks after Moto Guzzi, Vespas, plenty of others that don't come to mind, but lots of them. Aprilia, however, they are designed and made all, every single model, apart from these sub-500cc models, I think, they are all designed and made in Italy. Certainly, the Touareg here, designed and made in Italy. So let's take a look at these two bikes. Both Italian brands, but one still designed and made in Italy. One designed in Italy, but made in China. Let's start with the Touareg. 660, 80 horsepower. 204 kilo wet weight. I think this is down at about 187 kilo dry weight. This is really impressive for a mid-size adventure bike. 2 year warranty. And the offer at the moment, this is quite appealing. These are £10,900 brand new, but on Aprilia's website, this is on sale at, including the on-the-road charges, £9,724. I mean, this is a good £1,400 discount on these bikes. That is significant. And it's 8.9% APR if you want to buy and take out your finance directly with Aprilia in the UK. So let's take a look at this. You put down a £999 deposit on a brand new bike. You pay it off over 2 years. I'm going to do like for like here with the Aprilia against the Benelli. 2 years at £396 a month on top of that £999 deposit. That makes a total that you're going to pay back. And bear in mind, after 2 years, you'd own the bike in its entirety of £10,522. Okay. Now let's take a look at the Benelli TRK 702. This bike, just like the Aprilia Touareg, this is a highly regarded bike. Owners like these bikes. This is a 702cc engine, so it's a slightly bigger engine than the Aprilia. It's £6,700 with all of the on-road charges. That is the proper price that you'll pay. So immediately, you're saving, I mean, it's chunky. It's a £3,000 saving immediately. 70 horsepower, so that's 10 horsepower down. 235 kilos, so it is way up on weight. That's a good 30 kilo extra weight there. That is significant. 30 kilos is pretty massive. That's a wet weight. 2-year warranty, just like the Aprilia. But the offer here on the Benelli is 0% finance if bought over 2 years. I mean, you can see the deals going on at the moment. On top of this, if you want Benelli aluminium panniers, three of them, £600. Superb value for proper main dealer panniers in aluminium, all three of them for £600. I'd say that is almost unmissable and should be added, but that's a side thing. 0% finance over 2 years. So that works out, of course, you're not going to pay any extra. That means that at the end of 2 years, you'll own the bike in its entirety, and it will still cost, after paying the £999 deposit, £237 a month. You're going to own the bike at the end, and it will only have cost you £6,700. That means the difference between the two bikes is close to £4,000. You can see the difference buying the bike with the bigger economies of scale from China. But it is down on the dynamism front, and you don't get that made in Italy element. I think it's good we've got the choice, because it may seem like a no-brainer. You save almost £4,000. Yes, you're down on dynamism, but for some people, it's important where a product's made. However, for a lot of people, it simply doesn't matter. They just want to get the best deal they can. And there's no specific right or wrong there. It's just incredible that we've got the luxury of choice. I just hope that things can start to pick up, but certainly as people are tightening their purse strings, you are seeing a bigger emergence of these Chinese vehicles. So take your pick. I'm really curious here. I want to leave it all up to you. Bike of the week for this week, Benelli TRK, bearing in mind everything I've said, or Aprilia Touareg 660. Let me know what you would go for, taking everything into account. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching this week's episode. That was a lot of numbers and facts and figures, so I hope I didn't overload you all. Thanks all. I'll see you in the next one.